Up next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, Rob and Pete are joined by Waiver Wire James. How to replace Mitch Marner, top options to fill in for Crosby, and the best waiver wire pickups on the board. DFS plays, best bets, the works. It's the Tuesday edition.
What's good, everybody? Tuesday morning edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Jensen and Reese coming at you and talking some waiver wire. We have that on tap since we didn't have a Monday show. And, of course, a big slate for Tuesday as usual.
Let's dive right in, Pete, and maybe bat around a couple things real quick. Mitch Marner out a minimum of 4 weeks since we didn't get a Monday episode this week. We'll still do a little waiver wire chatter, but I think one thing that stands out to me here is his impact on the power play. He hasn't done a lot at even strength. I believe only 4 even strength points to date. Mm-hmm. Obviously, William Nylander's gotten all the even strength production there, but who do you think is the guy on the power play that's really going to get that share now?
I think Andreas Janssen, because he plays so often with Matthews and Nylander, and Nylander's playing really well right now. He really ignited the past couple of games. And with that chemistry, carry it over to the power play. It's an easy way for it to carry it over and not miss the impact of Mitchell Marner too much. In terms of even strength, it's a shame because Tavares just came back. Marner and Tavares really haven't played together very much all season because of their respective injuries. So the line debates carry on. Is it Kapanen? When is Hyman coming back? The questions still need to be answered.
And it looks like Hyman is coming back soon. He's been taking a lot of line rushes lately, which is indicative that he will be returning momentarily. Now, if Hyman is available in your league, even with Marner out, that is a player you 100% have to pick up. Because, as you alluded to, Tavares and his impact on players surrounding him.
And a couple other injuries. There's Sidney Crosby, guys coming back from injury over the weekend, Vincent Trocheck and Jordan Eberle. Those are some things that you're batting around on the waiver wire. Like, if you see an Eberle or a Trocheck out there, are you more inclined to take one of those guys who have high potential based on their previous career success, or are you going for the short-term streams of the Penguins?
I'm a short-term streamer. I think this season that answer is different than in seasons previous, mm-hmm. but I would like to get a third-party opinion on it, and who better than that than our friend Waiver Wire James. James Harding writes our Waiver Wire piece for NHL.com/fantasy. So let's kick it right off, James. What is your opinion on the Mitch Marner injury, and who are you picking up to replace him?
Yeah, it's a huge blow to the Maple Leafs offense right now, especially with the way that they've been playing lately, and especially with the way that Mitch Marner has been playing to start the season, even in the span when John Tavares was hurt. Now it's going to be Tavares who is going to be relied on that line to pick up the slack for not having Marner. And it looks like right now in the short term, it's going to be Kasperi Kapanen who's going to slot in on that right side with Tavares. And then opposite, lately the last handful of games has been Trevor Moore on the left wing. So it's going to be interesting to see the dynamic there. Obviously, we've seen Tavares throughout his entire career. He makes players around him who would probably not be of the same skill level as he is better. So it's going to be interesting to see, because both Kapanen and Moore really haven't been lighting up the score sheet this season, especially Kapanen coming off of the successful year that he had last season, the step forward offensively that he took. So maybe slotting onto this line with John Tavares right now for the time being in place of Mitch Marner, you're going to see Kapanen take a step forward. So it looks like he's going to be the one going forward that's going to get that slot. So I would jump on him in most league formats if he's available.
And James, another big injury is Sidney Crosby. He's out on Tuesday against the New York Rangers. For the Pittsburgh Penguins, they're elevating Jared McCann. Brian Rust is very hot as well. In terms of the waiver wire, who are you more likely and inclined to pick up between Rust and Jared McCann?
From a scoring perspective, I would probably say Rust. I did have McCann on my list this week, but obviously that was before the injury to Crosby. It's definitely going to have a ripple effect throughout their entire lineup. We saw Rust score against the New York Islanders last week. McCann has been playing with Evgeny Malkin the last handful of games on the left wing there. So it just kind of depends on who slots in where right now. But if they separate McCann from Malkin because of the injury to Crosby in the short term, I'm higher on Rust. But when McCann is consistently playing in the top six with either Crosby or Malkin over the last season, plus he has been productive in that role. So when Crosby comes back, I'm still high on McCann as long as he's got exposure to one of them. But if I'm choosing between the two, it's definitely Rust.
Two defenseman injuries, James, this week. We have Chris Letang on the shelf and Torrey Krug, who probably won't miss too much time. But regardless, are you looking at Tony DeAngelo from the Rangers as a guy that's great to stream in DFS and to replace those guys in season-long formats?
100%. I would be looking at him as a standalone option in a lot of fantasy leagues right now, even if you're considering him just as an addition instead of an injury replacement. When you look at what he's done, he's been the Rangers' most productive fantasy defenseman so far this season. Obviously, he doesn't have the shot totals that somebody like a Jacob Trouba has or the hits totals, but 13 points, 6 power play points. He's skating in the top 4 on defense, and he's running the point on what is an underrated and more potent Rangers first power play unit than we were expecting going into the season. So right now, I'm very high on Tony DeAngelo. If he's not available, though, I do like his defensive teammate, Adam Fox, right now as an injury replacement. He has points in 4 straight, a goal and 3 assists there, and I believe it's points in 5 of his last 7 games overall. So the rookie definitely starting to live up to the hype that was surrounding him when the Rangers traded for him over the summer coming out of college. But right now, Tony DeAngelo would be my hottest commodity to pick up on the fantasy waiver wire if he's available from defense.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Nearly a point per game, 13 and 15, almost a quarter of a way through the season. Nobody could have ever seen that one coming. In terms of other waiver wire pickups, both Stroms come to mind. I know we talked about Ryan. He delivered for everybody last week. But Dylan Strome now playing with Patrick Kane. Who do you like more, Dylan or Ryan Strome?
Yeah, it's kind of a toss-up right now because you have Ryan Strome, who's playing with Artemi Panarin at even strength, and we know what kind of an elite playmaker and goal scorer Artemi Panarin can be. But then you have Strome, who spent the majority of last season playing with Patrick Kane, and Kane arguably had one of his 2 or 3 best seasons of his career, and Strome definitely was the recipient of a lot of that production as well. So I would have to say long-term, I like Dylan Strome, but short-term, I think I like Ryan for the fact that he just has the chemistry right now with Artemi Panarin. But at the end of the season, I think that where they are as a team, as a whole, and who they're playing with, Dylan is definitely going to have more long-term value, especially if he's able to stay with Kane and Alex DeBrincat on that second line right now, because that could be one of the best scoring lines in the NHL if they really get clicking.
Agreed. Well, James, thank you for your time this morning and great waiver wire insight as always.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you next week.
James Harding, again, follow him on Twitter at jharding_hockey. And let's get right to this Tuesday slate now. Bruins host the Panthers. Panthers seem to still be salvaging points here and there, but the Bruins are on a 3-game winless streak.
I like the Panthers in this tilt tonight. I've got Sasha Barkov leading my DFS lineup. The guy is the hottest player in the NHL. I'm not really so much concerned about the price. I do like a little road appeal here. And one good news for season-long owners in this tilt is Sergei Bobrovsky quietly starting to play better. I think the early season rust is coming off.
And Torrey Krug's out for the Bruins. Jake DeBrusk also out for the Bruins, so reconstructed second line. Danton Heinen is the guy who's on the second line and also the first power play right now, so definitely some DFS streaming appeal there.
And I truly think that Barkov is going to slot himself into this Hart Trophy race. I just, for some reason, I mean, every time he's on the ice, it seems like the puck is moving up and going towards the net, so definitely look for him in your DFS lineup. Other appeal, though, in this game for Boston, look at their defense. Someone's got to replace Torrey Krug on the power play. I know Charlie McAvoy hasn't done much this year, so hard to roster him at this point in DFS, but you know, stranger things have happened.
Yeah, definitely take a look at the morning skate, see if he's out there on power play one. If he's not, if it's someone like Grizzlick, then fade Charlie McAvoy, because he's still over $4,000. It's not like you're getting a ton of value there.
I spoke to Dave Satriano yesterday, and he said to tell the listeners his Tuesday lock of the night was Columbus on the road at Montreal. He likes the goalie Elvis Merzlikins for Columbus. I think that's out there a little bit in left field. How do we feel about that, boys?
Yeah, no thanks. I'm taking a pass on Elvis. He's already left the building.
Wait a second. Didn't we have a funeral for Elvis Merzlikins a moment of silence last week, and now he's already back in the mix, and mm-hmm. Davey's already putting his hard-earned cash behind Elvis?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say this. Elvis has left the building, in my opinion.
And I think, too, like, I love against-the-grain picks. Like, sign me up any day for these contrarian left-field picks. But mm-hmm. I think the trends are starting to really normalize now, and I can't foresee this happening. I'm not a prophet, but just there's something about a rookie goaltender playing at the Bell Center that just scares me a little bit. Unless he's in a Habs sweater, but he's not.
I mean, yeah, Montreal's playing really well right now. Shea Weber, I know he was dealing with an illness or something, but I would expect him to go. He was an absolute monster the other day. Scored 2 goals, had 7 shots. I mean, Columbus doesn't have anyone to stand in his way, and the scoring depth for Montreal, not even close in terms of the comparison to Columbus.
So for the Penguins-Rangers game tonight, I know we were talking about Brian Rust and Jared McCann in season-long formats. For DFS, I do have Brian Rust in mm-hmm. my lineup. The guy has a point in every single game he's played this season. He's got 7-6 now. For me, Malkin's another target in that game. When Crosby's out, all the attention's going to be on him to drive the offense.
You know who the attention and the pressure is going to be on, and I think he'll finally come through. Still without a goal this season, Alex Galchenyuk. I'm getting Galchenyuk into my lineup. He has almost 3 shots per game. He hasn't really done much to live up to his sleeper expectations, but go Galchenyuk, go really low ownership. He'll probably be like 1% owned in this big contest.
Incredible that he does not have a goal all season long. Mm-hmm. That is mind-blowing. I mean, not one single goal.
I know he was injured,
but I mean, come on. He's got to have a goal at this point.
I agree. Hopefully he's listening.
We're in November here, boys.
I mean, he missed time with a spider bite, which is probably the most bizarre NHL injury, so I'm going to give him a pass on this one.
Please. One goal? I know.
It could happen tonight. That being said, Hank Lundqvist has been playing incredible. That, you know, it makes me a little bit shy of taking the over here. But then when you add in the factor that Crosby's probably the best defensive forward on either side of the ice, I'm a little bit feeling safer about that over total.
Yeah, it's a weird one because I could see it going under, too. Right? There's no Zibanejad, no Crosby, no mm-hmm. Letang, no Hornquist. I mean, the Rangers have some nice offensive flair lately, but they're the Rangers. Any given game, they could go silent. Mm-hmm.
Stay away from that total. I looked at it on the board, and I said, oh, this game's going over. But then Robbie brings up some good points. We're all bringing up some good points. Mm-hmm. If you're like 50-50 on it, just stay away from it. Mm-hmm. No need to pony up the cash in that game.
I agree. Consensus pick there, stay away. Now for Arizona, St. Louis, Arizona's on the second of a back-to-back. They're actually in the midst of playing a 4-game week, so a lot of action for the Coyotes. For St. Louis at home, again, they're a little bit banged up. Arizona, as we all know, has a little bit of trouble scoring. Are we thinking under in this game?
I like St. Louis's power play right now. They're operating during their 7-game winning streak, almost 35%. And for the season, they're getting close to 30, which is number 3 in the NHL. So I'm getting like David Perron into my lineup. Right now, the combination of David Perron and Ryan O'Reilly, too good to pass up. I think you got to get one of those two.
So was that over or under? I missed it.
I think it's over. The Coyotes have been a little down lately, but I like the offense that they mustered against the Capitals. That was a big statement game. I know they blew the lead, and that's another thing. The Coyotes could get off to a good start, and then the Blues could power back. All of a sudden, you got 6-7 goals in the game.
I don't want to be too reactionary. The Coyotes are still a very good defensive team. Really good minutes on all their young blue liners there, and even the vets like Goligoski are playing well this season. So I wouldn't hit that over total. No, thank you. But for Colorado-Winnipeg, I've got a little bit more interest in DFS in that game. Nate McKinnon has been playing really, really well. Tons of shot volume. And I'm impressed with guys like Donskoy, too. He's up to 8 goals already, quietly. Burakovsky's been playing well. So I think there's a lot of value here on either side of the ice.
My lineup lock from this game, Cale Makar, 17 points in 17 games, only $5,000 in FanDuel. So sign me up every single time against the Jets on the road. And then speaking of the Jets, I mean, Blake Wheeler finally is playing second line center like I believed he should have been coming into the season, given their second line void. Now that Little's injured again, it's Wheeler on the second line with Ehlers and Jack Roslovic, who scored the other day.
And for the Jets, Connor Hellebuck has been playing pretty well in season-long formats.
One game that is bounce back city on this slate is the Predators, who are in the final game of their road trip in the West Coast, and they play the Canucks, who have been sour offensively. Who do you like more? I'm leaning towards the Canucks. Just, I don't like that spot where teams are finishing up the long West Coast road trip.
I like Quinn Hughes a lot in this game. I wouldn't take an outright winner, no thanks. You know, Nashville is a sneaky team. They can turn it on any night, even on the road. But I think Quinn Hughes is a guy that is an offensive catalyst starting at the defensive position for Winnipeg. Vancouver, excuse me. Nice one. If Quinn Hughes was on Nashville, that defense would be freaking ridiculous. But for Vancouver, I do think he is where the offense starts, the power play quarterback. I am not ready to stack the Canucks after we've seen their offense been shaky the past four games. I don't think they've scored more than two in any of them. So I'm not stacking, but I do like Quinn Hughes because takes that one game and they're back to scoring four or five.
I'm a happy Philip Forsberg owner. Even through Nashville's struggles, he continues to get the ball rolling for my one team. What do you think about Matt Duchene, though? Because he was a staple with Forsberg. Now he's playing right wing on the second line. It's kind of strange, playing with Kyle Turris. I don't really like that spot.
I do, only because in season long, he's got the dual position.
Oh, yeah. So that, he plays there for 10 games and then comes back.
That's my money spot. For DFS, I'm not touching it. Like,
that's true.
The Nashville stacks have been almost non-existent unless you're stacking Josi and Ellis on the blue line. But their forward stacks for DFS have really... I don't think you're ever going to make money doing that in DFS the remainder of the season.
I even tried a Duchene Josi stack in that game against Colorado. They both had points. I think maybe they both scored a goal, but it wasn't worthwhile. It's a very strange offensive outlook for that team right now. One of the biggest stories from over the weekend, very quietly, nobody really took that trade seriously, but how about Robbie Fabbri with 3 points in two games, playing on power play one with all the big dogs in Detroit?
I can tell you a guy who took it seriously, and his name is Robert Reese, and I think Pete Jensen, too. We talked about it last week. It was a no-brainer, you know. The guy's got upside. He's coming off injury. He didn't fit in St. Louis. Stevie Y rolls the dice on him. I think it's a great trade for everyone involved, and you know what? He's putting up points and doing his thing.
And I'm excited to see what they bring against Anaheim. They're on the road. They're in Anaheim. They're going to face John Gibson, a very quality goaltender. So let's use this game as a nice benchmark to see if, number one, Detroit can keep it rolling, but number two, maybe Robbie Fabbri is the guy in their top six that balances out their scoring, takes a little bit of pressure off Larkin, takes a little bit of pressure off Mantha, who's playing better now.
It's crazy too. Athanasiou needs some help. He's grabbing for straws right now. He's minus 21. He's the worst in the NHL right now. So if he gets Fabbri on his line, gives him a little scoring pop.
The thing about Fabbri, he's 23 years old. I mean, he's coming off the two bad knee injuries. You put him in the mix, he's ready to play. He's going to put up points on that team, right? I mean, you'd have to think. He's a talented guy.
And I don't even need to dissect where he came from, his first round draft pick, none of that. I just trust Steve Yzerman, knowing that he makes good deals. I put my trust in him and Robbie Fabbri. Another sneaky game out west, Minnesota taking on the Kings. I do like some wild appeal in this game. I'm going to get Ryan Suter in the blue line in my DFS lineup. I just like that for the Eric Staal exposure, who's playing out of his mind right now.
I think that the Kings are due for a win for some reason. I like the way that Kopitar is playing regardless of his line mates, but he's gotten back together now at practice the other day. I saw he's with Dustin Brown and Iafallo. Dustin Brown is a very low ownership. Nobody's going to be drafting him, and team him with Kopitar, you might just break the slate.
As far as wagering on this game, please stop it. You're not putting any money on the Wild or the Kings. It's
happening. I like Kopitar. That's the only standalone player that I would spend up for in this game. And I like that he's reunited with Brown. That's really about it.
Yeah, I'm just warning all the degenerates out there. Just stay away from this game, please, Lord.
And I don't know if you're watching this one either, to be honest. And if it's a late one, that'll put you right to sleep if you got some insomnia problems.
I could tell you a late game that I'm going to be watching. It's the Oilers at the Sharks. Sharks wrap up this homestand. So far, so good, 3-0. And if you look at it, I was looking this morning at the good old standings page on NHL.com. 11 points behind the Oilers, the Sharks are. This is their first meeting this season. They got to get this win.
Well, I'm more surprised that the standings page was working. than looking at those results in the standings itself. But, you know, it's funny because Koskinen's playing so well. It's a great pickup in season long. If he's still floating out there, maybe a Mike Smith owner wants to make the shift. You might be doing that all season, going a little bit back and forth. But I do like Koskinen in this game, and I do like Zach Cassian to stay hot against the Sharks.
Petey, situationally, I love where your head is at. And, boy, do I really want to take the Sharks tonight at the Tank thinking they're going to get a win. I just cannot do it with this team right now. I know they're playing better. They've burnt me so many times already in the early season. I just can't do it.
You know, it's been really good on the homestand. Timo Meier and Tomas Hertl, they were separate at the beginning of the season. They're together now. Get one of those two in your lineup, and I think take the over in this game. Just in case Edmonton blows the doors off, they'll probably get you there on their own. And even if the Sharks win, we've seen what happened the other day. They played Minnesota 6-5. They blow leads too. So take the over in Sharks Edmonton.
And this season I've really been gaining a lot of patience on and off the ice, for example. But for gambling, I think the patience thing is the best thing. It's the best thing in fantasy sports too. You see all the people dropping these players the first month and a half of the season, and now I'm the guy that's profiting like nothing else. So even for betting, I want to wait and be patient to see what the Sharks team is. Just because they won a couple games recently doesn't mean they're a good team. Anybody's going to win a couple games. We've seen it with Detroit. We've seen it with other teams like that. So I need to be patient. I want to watch this game, see what they're made of.
It's easy to be patient, Robbie, when you have other things going on in your life like you do. You know, you're out dating. You have a social life. If you're Bobby, I mean, you have nothing. You have nothing but your sweatpants and your sweatshirt and a 10:30 puck drop. You're trying to get involved a little bit. But I understand, Robbie, it's easy for you to be patient. For people like me, not so easy.
Yeah, I mean, Robbie's in the middle of Manhattan. Bobby's in the suburbs on a Saturday night. It's all good. It's one of the best spots. But
good news, the Popeye's chicken sandwich is back, Bob, so maybe a little spice to your night.
I have seen that. I have an issue, though, because my DoorDash, my vendor who I go to get that chicken sandwich, for some reason they haven't updated their platform and they don't have the spicy version up on the big board. I've also had this problem with Shake Shack, where my favorite burger at Shake Shack is the smoke stack. I believe that's what it's called. And it's not on the DoorDash platforms. Issues. I've been sending notes to them. If you're listening, DoorDash, I want this problem fixed.
And just one note about the spicy chicken sandwich before we move on here. It's actually just spicy mayonnaise. There's nothing to do with the chicken breading or anything like that.
Is that right?
That's correct. So if you do have a condiment or a condiment store nearby.
Is that correct? Is that right?
Yeah, you just pick up a spicy mayonnaise and get the regular chicken sandwich and throw it on there.
I got
to
get Davey Boy on that to fact check that one. I'm not sure about that. But okay, that's what Robbie says. I don't know if that's true, but if you're listening, tweet us, let us know. That's an interesting one.
I haven't been to Popeyes in years, just be honest. But yeah, you guys are into it, so I might have to. We'll take a trip one of these days.
Guilty pleasure, fast food for sure. Just to, before we go here, games played this week. I know it's already Tuesday. Fewest games, Columbus, Nashville, Islanders, Tampa. Tampa, obviously, nice two wins in Sweden there. Do you feel a little bit better about this team moving forward in season long?
I like that Kucherov's back with point. I would buy low on Kucherov right now. We just moved him outside to number 11 overall in our rankings. That said, this is a great opportunity to buy low on one of the best players in fantasy, the best player in fantasy from last year. Another buy low candidate I was looking at, we got a bunch of questions about Jamie Benn, has a 13-game goal drought. Are you still buying low on this player?
Absolutely, and I don't care if he breaks the goal drought or not, because he covers so many categories that if you're in a standard Yahoo league or even a league that counts blocks too, Jamie Benn is going to finish top 100, even if he only gets 15, 20 goals this season.
And it's good to see that team playing well. They dropped a game over the weekend, but they're 7-1-1 in their past nine. And Jamie Benn, like you mentioned, a hits league beast. 2 hits per game on average this season.
And his shot volume is always pretty steady too. So that's a player, even if he's not scoring, you cannot go wrong by picking him up.
So we got some picks for tonight.
We got some picks for tonight.
I have Nathan MacKinnon stacked with Cale Makar from the Avalanche at Winnipeg. Shaky defense, Tomas Hertl playing really well during the homestand. David Perron on that stifling St. Louis Blues power play. Alex Galchenyuk due for a goal. Artemi Panarin against the Penguins without Crosby. And Letang, Robbie Fabry, 3,500. Keep riding the hot hand with this player against John Gibson, who's actually been pretty shaky lately. A lot of goals allowed for him. Young defense, Quinn Hughes, Cale Makar. And my goaltender is whoever starts for Vancouver. I like the way they're headed for a bounce back game.
For my DFS lineup, just to recap, rostering Barkov, Cassian, Rust. defenseman low ownership play is Suter, and then I'm going Hughes, and finally rounding out the goalie position with Mikko Koskinen.
Okay, so you're going with the Pacific Division leaders to knock off the Sharks and ruin this homestand.
Those are the DFS picks, and we'll whip it around real quick, recap our picks for a Tuesday night, and we'll start with Peter.
Well, I said Penguins Rangers under. I said I think the Red Wings will beat the Ducks. The Ducks are trending in the wrong direction right now. I like the Kings at home. Just a game that no one's going to be touching, but I think the Kings are due for a win. And then the Sharks finish things off and close the gap in the standings. The Sharks win outright against the Oilers.
I like that contrarian underpick in the Penguins-Rangers game because I think fans are looking at it. Oh, it's definitely going over. Let's go against the public. Little contrarian. It'll stay under at MSG tonight. I like that, Peter. Robbie?
And my lot for the night, a game that no one's watching, no one really cares about. I'm taking the Minnesota Wild on the road tonight.
Oh, boy. Hold your nose and pray for the best. I'm going to take the Florida Panthers in Boston as an underdog. It's a little dicey, but you know what? I think I'm going to take the Panthers there. I don't really have a reason for it. I just like the value on the Panthers. I don't think Boston, with the injuries and everything else going on, they haven't played well. They're minus 165 favorites. I don't think they deserve to be minus 165 favorites.
The Panthers really showed something the other day. They were down big at the Garden. They came back. That team is the best in the NHL at salvaging points. They have 5 overtime shootout losses this year. It's probably the most in the league. I haven't checked, but honestly, we're a month into the season, and they're just picking up points every which way.
Take the Panthers against the Bruins tonight. I love it. And hit us up on Twitter for any additional questions at NHL Reese for myself, at NHL Jensen for Pete, at Airchecked for Bob Bender.
And listen, for all you people out there, if you're going to come at me on Twitter, get ready for the heat. I mean, a couple people on me about the Philly Joel comments. That's not a great nickname, and they're, you know, I don't want to circle back on it, but it's not a great nickname. And if you're going to hit me on Twitter, get ready for the heat. And again, we appreciate you not freeloading. Leave us a review, 5 stars, 5+, comments, anything. We need it. Engage. Thank you for listening.
It's good to see you guys today. I felt like we were all in hiding for a few days after that Penn State game. We're not going to talk about that game. But
oh, no, we can't talk about it. But a James Franklin special, as I said. So move on. Put a bow on it. Petey, put a bow on it.
Well, we had the better James on the show today, James Harding. Thanks again, James, for joining us. For Bender, Reese, check out the podcast in the Podcast Network, NHL Executive Suite, NHL at the Rink, Puck Culture. And we'll talk to you again on Thursday. Thanks for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice.